Hello, this is Mary Moreland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, June 22, 2017. Davis campaign apes critical sticker design. It appears that a bumper sticker produced by a Champaign family critical of Congressman Rodney Davis, Unseat Rodney Davis, has impressed the congressman and his reelection committee. They've borrowed the design for their own bumper sticker. I support Rodney Davis, now available for free on Davis's campaign website and Facebook page. I think it's pathetic, but also kind of funny, Champaign's Ellen Letterly says of the knockoff that is based on the anti-Davis sticker she designed earlier this year with her 16-year-old daughter, Addie. At first, I thought maybe it was done by a zealous supporter, you know, just some guy. But then when I saw that it was the congressman's official campaign site, and that it's his initiative, I kind of giggled. Davis spokeswoman Ashley Phelps acknowledged the connection. We had several supporters who had seen the Unseat stickers reach out wanting to show their support. So the campaign designed these bumper stickers in response, she said. I think it's kind of sad, but I don't think it's going to be particularly effective for him, Lyerly said. The congressman roguing off of our design really has people stirred up, and we have people stepping up to distribute these all over the place. She said she and her family already have printed 2,500 of the Unseat stickers and would do more. Lyerly's mother, 77-year-old Pat Marlowe of Champaign, said she thought the Davis campaign effort would backfire. We're not going to court over this, and let's just hope that we have enough of ours out there so that at a glance, people will look at his and become think that's another. Because what they expect to see with that design is anti-Rodney Davis, Marlowe said. Phelps of the Davis campaign said they already had nearly 100 requests for their sticker, which was unveiled Tuesday, so if they continue to be in high demand, we'll continue to order them. Meanwhile, the Lyerlys are out about $1,000 so far in cost related to their anti-Davis stickers, Ellen Lyerly said, and have distributed them throughout the 13th Congressional District, including Champaign-Urbana, Decatur, Bloomington-Normal, Springfield, and Edwardsville. There wasn't any particular issue that prompted the anti-Davis effort, she said. Our family hates all things Donald Trump, and Rodney is one of the Trump's most faithful foot soldiers, Lyerly said. And I don't like it that Davis shows no interest in Russian interference in our elections. His support for Trump indicates that he can't think for himself. However, Phelps noted that Davis has ranked the second most bipartisan member of the Illinois delegation in Congress. So I think his record clearly shows that he votes for issues important to his district, no matter the political party. Lyerly denied that she's part of an organized group or political action committee. I'm a lifelong Democrat, but I have never participated in politics really until this presidential election, other than voting. I'd characterize myself as an ordinary taxpayer who's disgusted with politics today, she said. Both of my daughters are adopted and they're Chinese American, and I think that's one of the things that galvanized my efforts and those of my family. My little one cried when she woke up and realized that Trump would be our president because she feels we have a president who doesn't want us in the country. And she said she's not affiliated with any potential Davis opponent in the 2018 election. I've spoken with Carol Amons and Dr. David Gill, two Democrats who would be Davis opponents next year, but we're not endorsing either anyone. We wouldn't know who to endorse. We'll be happy to support whoever the Democratic nominee is, but we're not affiliated with any campaign, she said. State budget impasse. Treasurer Rahner's unity plea rings hollow. State Treasurer Mike Frerix on Wednesday criticized Governor Bruce Rahner for calling for unity in the state budget crisis while acting partisan in television commercials he's running statewide. Rahner has called legislators back to Springfield for a special session that began Wednesday afternoon. A night earlier, he delivered a special session address at the old state capitol in Springfield and urged lawmakers to agree on a balanced budget plan. The Republican governor said that last week we reviewed a compromise budget plan that I can sign and one that we can all support. It moves us to the middle ground on key issues. But Frerix, a Champaign Democrat, noted that the plan Rahner referred to was backed only by Republicans. Having a single partisan press conference laying out your demands with no wiggle room is not a compromise, Frerich said Wednesday in Champaign. The state treasurer, a former member of the Illinois Senate, said that if the governor was serious about negotiating a budget, he would call a meeting with the legislative leaders. It is very difficult to negotiate a deal with 177 people. I think if he is serious about passing a budget, he would not be running television commercials, spending millions of dollars attacking people on the other side of the negotiating table. Recent Rauner TV spots hit House Democrats for not acting on the state budget and Senate Democrats for not agreeing to his demand for a four-year property tax freeze. The plan that Senate Democrats passed included a two-year freeze. I think it's incumbent on the governor, if he's not going to propose a balanced budget, if he's going to kill the efforts of other legislators to get a budget passed, that he should come forward with a budget that shows how much revenue he needs and the kind of cuts he proposes, Frerich said. The treasurer warned that if no budget is approved by July 1st, the beginning of the new fiscal year, you'll have a continuation of what has been happening. You'll find community colleges and universities in the state continuing to suffer, to lose students, to lose faculty. You'll find agencies out there who help people through things like rape crisis and domestic abuse closing their doors. And what you're most likely to see is another round of credit downgrades to the state of Illinois. Illinois is just one step above junk bond status. Another credit downgrade puts us in the junk bond status. No state in the union has ever reached that level before, and we should not be leading on this issue. We should not be first. Frerich said that reaching junk bond status would mean higher cost to the state when it issues debt. Last year, the governor issued $500 million in debt, and the research from the University of Illinois discovered that because of our lower credit rating, we're paying an additional $70 million in interest that we otherwise should not be, Frerich said. That $70 million that is going to New York bondholders, not to Illinois roads, bridges, and schools. With another downgrade, Frerich said, I'm sure the amount we spend in interest will go up even more. Abnormal aorta ID'd as cause of death. Student was a victim of bullying, police said, but that wasn't a factor in his passing. A heart defect has been ruled as the official cause of the death of a Centennial High School student, authorities said Wednesday. Dr. Michael Graham, the chief medical examiner in St. Louis, said 15-year-old Luke Miller died of natural causes, specifically an abnormal aorta, and not as the result of a traumatic event. The ruling came more than 3 months after Mr. Miller, a standout archer, died at Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis. He was rushed there from Carl Foundation in Urbana after feeling ill on the morning of March 11th and died later that day. Mr. Miller's mother, Heather Miller, said her son was a victim of bullying, supporting what friends of the Centennial sophomore said in the weeks after his death and what Champaign police acknowledged Wednesday. The case shined a bright light locally on the topic of bullying. Archery teams across the state honoring Mr. Miller with shirts, signs, and pins at the state tournament. The Centennial and Central softball teams raising $1,000 for the hashtag LiveLikeLuke cause, and a first grade teacher starting a school-wide bully-free zone in Bemidji, among many other tributes. But in a statement released hours after Graham shared his findings with WDWS on Wednesday, Champaign police said an exhaustive criminal investigation, which included watching countless frames of video footage from the school and conducting interviews with friends, family members, students, and Centennial administrators, did not reveal bullying or battery as a contributing factor or result of his death. The autopsy report indicates there is no evidence to suggest that Luke Miller was the victim of a violent crime, police said. The autopsy did not reveal the presence of any trauma or significant injury that would be consistent with being attacked or beaten, but that Miller's death was tragic and medically related. Although Luke has been the subject of bullying during his school years, police went on to say, his death was due to natural causes. In a message that accompanied the statement from Champaign Police, the Miller family asked for privacy. We understand the desires to want to know more, they wrote. However, this is a difficult time, and we ask that our immediate and extended family and friends be given privacy and time to heal. Although Luke has been the subject of bullying during his school years, his death was due to natural causes. We sincerely appreciate the work done by the Champaign Police Department and will continue discussions with Champaign Unit 4 representatives on initiatives that would support healthy discussion around bullying and interpersonal interactions between youth and adult. The latest, search for Xinying Zhang. Case, FBI UIPD teaming up. University of Illinois Police spent Wednesday watching what spokesman Patrick Wade described as hours and hours of surveillance video footage with the help of the FBI searching for clues into the disappearance of the visiting Chinese scholar and the black Saturn Astra that 26-year-old Xinying Zhang was last seen getting into on June 9th. Chief, we will not give up. In a Wednesday mass mail to campus, U of I Police Chief Jeff Christensen wrote, "We have personally witnessed the pain this uncertain time has created for her family members, friends, and colleagues. While we cannot share specific details on the investigation in order to maintain its integrity and direction, we continue to make progress, and we will not give up until we find her." Campus, forum set for tonight. From 6 to 7 p.m. today, U of I Police and other campus organizations will host a community forum in room 314 of Altgeld Hall. In addition to talking about services and support available, the Chinese Students and Scholars Association will discuss outreach efforts to expand awareness and show support for Zhang. Champaign County Circuit Court. Judge keeping defendant in jail. Bellflower man to be sentenced next month. A Champaign County judge on Tuesday declined to release a man from jail who allegedly threatened to harm himself, his child, a prosecutor, and the prosecutor's family. Judge Brett Olmsted said he did not think that a Department of Corrections warehouse term was the right solution for Gregory Todd, but said he would keep an open mind when the 40-year-old Bellflower man is resentenced next month. Todd admitted Tuesday that he violated the probation he received a year ago for aggravated battery, a January 2015 road rage incident in which he attacked a man who he believed cut him off in traffic, resulting in the man's jaw being broken by not getting the anger management or substance abuse counseling that had been ordered. The state's attorney's office took steps to revoke Todd's probation in February for his noncompliance, and his attorney, Mark Clipton of Champaign, quickly got Todd into counseling. It was in a May 1st counseling session that Todd made remarks that the counselor found to be threatening and relayed to the state's attorney's office, which then took steps to increase Todd's bond. Olmsted did that in what he described as a prevention detention move designed to keep Todd from hurting anyone while getting him the help he needed. On Tuesday, Lipton argued that Todd had made significant progress in his counseling and asked that the $250,000 bond be reduced so that Todd could get out of jail and return to work hanging drywall while he awaits resentencing July 26th. Assistant State's Attorney Troy Lazar objected, noting Todd had been in custody only 7 weeks and that his progress was probably because of the structure of jail. Todd was openly defiant while out on bond, but cooperative in custody, Lazar said. Both attorneys in Olmsted had a lengthy discussion about a report received only days ago from Champaign psychiatrist Larry Jekyll about Todd. Jekyll opined that Todd was no longer in imminent danger, but that he had multiple mental issues that needed to be addressed. Paraphrasing Jekyll's report, Olmsted said that while Todd had made some progress, he continued to have poor insight into the extent of his own rage and an inability to control his behavior, both of which gave the judge pause about setting his bond low enough so that Todd could afford to get out. Man gets 2-year term. 30-year-old admits hitting clerk at store. An Urbana man who admitted he hit a convenience store clerk in the face last August has been sentenced to 2 years in prison. In return for Robert E. Moore's guilty plea to aggravated battery, in that case, Assistant State's Attorney Matt Benek dismissed an unrelated case accusing Moore of possession of weapons by a felon and for being an armed habitual criminal for allegedly firing a gun from a vehicle in April. The charges in the dismissed case against Moore, 30, who listed an address in the 1200 block of West Church Street, alleged that on April 14th, he fired a gun from a moving sport utility vehicle in the area of 6th Street and Beardsley Avenue. Bonnick said that he dismissed the case because the sole witness who said Moore had a gun has a criminal record and was not cooperative. Furthermore, forensic analysis of shell casings found at the scene failed to provide any additional evidence related to the identity of the person with the gun, and the firearm used was never located to have the shell casing matched to it, Bannock said. Bannock said Assistant Public Defender Amanda Reese had also gotten a statement from a person at the scene who said Moore was not in the car as it passed by. That person also denied ever telling the eyewitness who the man with the gun was. Given those deficiencies, Bonnick dismissed the case. Moore had been arrested April 20th when a SWAT team surrounded the Church Street house he was in. The aggravated battery charge that Moore pleaded guilty to stemmed from an incident August 23rd, 2016, at Neal Street Food and Liquor, 701 North Neal Street. Bonnick said Moore was trying to negotiate a lower price for cigarettes with one clerk when a second intervened and Moore responded by hitting him in the face several times. Bonnick said Moore had prior convictions as an adult for possession with intent to deliver of a controlled substance, delivery of a controlled substance, and aggravated unlawful use of weapons. Judge Hardy Ladd accepted Moore's negotiated guilty plea Tuesday and gave him credit for 62 days already served. Champaign County Coroner: no evidence of drowning in motel case. The Champaign County Coroner said it does not appear that a Rantoul man who was found dead in a motel pool earlier this week died from drowning. Dwayne Northrup said preliminary results from the autopsy performed Wednesday in Urbana on Russell B. Connolly Jr. did not find any evidence of trauma or drowning. Rantoul Sergeant Justin Bowes said officers were called to the Heritage Inn, 402 South Murray Road, at 5:29 p.m. Monday following a report of a person not moving in the pool. Officers discovered Mr. Connolly, 68, dead in the pool. Emergency personnel transported him from Rantoul to Urbana, where he was pronounced dead at Presence Covenant Medical Center at 6:25 p.m. Monday. Excuse me. Mr. Connolly's death appears to be the result of natural causes, most likely due to health-related issues, Northrup said Wednesday. However, a final cause of death is pending further investigation and toxicology results. Northrup said he does not anticipate needing to hold an inquest at this time. At this point, it appears to be natural causes, he said. Rantoul Police and the Champaign County Coroner's Office are investigating the incident. Suspect charged in December burglary case. A Champaign man who allegedly entered a Northwest Champaign home last winter intending to steal has been charged with residential burglary. Demetrius Davis, 25, who listed an address in Chicago and in the 2600 block of Dale Drive, was arrested Tuesday on a warrant that had been issued for him last week. He was charged with allegedly breaking into a home in the 1600 block of Queensway on December 16, 2016. Assistant State's Attorney Larry Salava said a neighbor saw two men leaving the home of a woman who he knew was at work and recognized one of them but knew him only by a street name. Officers found the house had been rummaged through and learned from the homeowner that a laptop computer was missing. The witness said the man he recognized was carrying something under his clothing as he left the house. The witness later identified Davis as the man he saw leaving the home, Salava said. The second man was never identified. Judge Brett Olmstead reduced Davis's bond to $4,000 on Tuesday and told him to be back in court July 25th. If convicted, Davis faces 4 to 15 years in prison. Salava said Davis had no prior convictions. Urbana Police: two residents detained suspect after burglary. A Champaign man was charged with residential burglary Wednesday after two Urbana men found him inside their home Tuesday evening. One of the residents chased Christopher Bielert, 31, through nearby yards and caught him after Bielert jumped over a fence, landed wrong, and broke his wrist. Bielert, who listed an address in the 1300 block of Bloomington Road, was told to be back in court July 25th. An Urbana police report said the residents returned to their home in the 1100 block of South Anderson Street about 6:45 p.m. and saw Bielert coming out of a bedroom. He ran from the home with one of the residents in pursuit. The residents detained him until police arrived. Police found $1.75 in quarters in his pocket. The resident said quarters were missing from one bedroom and a drawer had been rummaged through. In Bielert's path of flight, police found latex gloves, broken glasses, and quarters. The report said Bielert admitted he entered the home to find money, that he did not know the residents, that he was wearing gloves to avoid leaving fingerprints, and that he lost his glasses while running. If convicted of residential burglary, Bielert faces 4 to 15 years in prison. Court records show he had a prior conviction for criminal damage to property. Champaign County resentencing. Probation violation brings prison term. A Champaign man who admitted he violated the rules of his probation for aggravated battery has been resentenced to 30 months in prison. Johnny Weatherall, 23, whose last known address was in the 1200 block of North Champaign Street, is also set to be tried Monday on charges alleging he fired shots at on East Washington Street in Champaign on April 12th. Judge Roger Weber agreed Tuesday that Weatherall could remain in Champaign County until after his trial on charges of aggravated discharge of a firearm and unlawful use of a weapon. Weatherall was serving 2 years probation for a 2015 conviction for aggravated battery to the mother of his children. He admitted that he violated his probation by using cannabis and failing to complete partner abuse counseling. To aggravate his sentence, Assistant State's Attorney Scott Larson presented witnesses Tuesday who testified about Weatherall allegedly firing the gun April 12th at a house in the 400 block of East Washington Street. Court records show that Weatherall's only adult conviction was for aggravated battery, but he had two adjudications as a juvenile for possession of cannabis and aggravated criminal sexual abuse. Weatherall was given credit on his sentence for 137 days already served. Parkland College, for aviation, in-district rates. Trustees okay tuition break for all Illinois students in program. Parkland College trustees Wednesday night approved offering in-district tuition rates to all Illinois students enrolled in the college's aviation degree program. The agreement is effective immediately. It allows students enrolled at participating community colleges in Illinois to enter the Parkland program and pay $164 per credit hour instead of the $370 per credit hour now charged to out-of-district students. Parkland is the only community college in the state to operate an aviation program. We're working to have it reclassified as a career program, but in the interim, we want to honor in-district tuition rates for those outside of our district, said Chris Randles, the college's vice president and chief financial officer. If you're in the career program and your school doesn't have that career program, you fill out some paperwork and you would get the in-district rate. The district is attempting to increase enrollment and retention in its aviation program, college officials said. In a separate presentation Wednesday night, the college's director of marketing, Stephanie Stewart, said that Parkland would use advertising to promote career programs in aviation, dental hygiene, precision agriculture, motorsports, and entertainment technology. Parkland officials hope the change yields an increase in aviation students as early as this fall. The college had 46 students in the aviation program in the recently concluded academic year, 21 from in-district, 19 from out-of-district, and 3 each from out-of-state and out-of-country. Parkland's Board of Trustees also approved a media purchasing consultant contract with Salvage Media of Denver. It was one of 8 firms to submit bid proposals. Salvage would be paid an estimated $27,000 annually, depending on the amount of ad purchases in the college mix next year. Fight at Lake Paradise. Text exchange ends in fatality. Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup has identified the Mattoon man who died on Wednesday following a fight with another man at Lake Paradise on Sunday. Northrup said Austin McDowell, 18, of Mattoon, was pronounced dead at 2:07 p.m. Wednesday at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Northrup said an autopsy will be held Thursday in Urbana. According to a police report, Dylan J. DeSilva, 18, of Springfield, allegedly traveled from his home to Lake Paradise to meet and fight with Mr. McDowell after two of them had been exchanging text messages. The case is being investigated by the Champaign County Coroner's Office and the Coles County Sheriff's Department. DeSilva was interviewed on Wednesday at the Sheriff's Office and was arrested there on suspicion of aggravated battery, police said. Marcus Jackson about town. It's been a lifelong U of I thing. former Illini pitcher, is new varsity eye chief. Champagne, one of Lee Zerusin's first memories, is watching his dad, Dan, go nuts in their two topless home when Andy Kaufman drilled a desperation buzzer-beating shot to stun Iowa in 1993. "My dad jumped up and knocked out the ceiling," recalled Zerusin, who wasn't even five at the time. "From that young age, all these things fighting Illini have been ingrained in me. As a youngster, he ran around in a Kwon Garris jersey and dreamed of one day wearing his own Illini jersey and running through the tunnel at the Assembly Hall. I knew pretty well, pretty early on, that I wasn't going to make it as a basketball player," Zerusin said. He became an Illini, though, signing to pitch for Dan Hartlieb's baseball team, where he served as a starter, long reliever, middle reliever, and closer from 2007 to 2011. "My first game was down at Baylor, and we were down 15-2, and I don't think I've ever been more nervous for anything in my whole life," said Zerusin, a 6'3" right-hander. "I did all right, no runs and one walk that inning." Climbing the ladder, it was during his time as a student athlete at Illinois that Zerusin learned what it was he wanted to do. As a freshman, he participated in a loyalty circle dinner and was seated at tables with the donors who funded U of I scholarships. "It was nice to put a face with it all," Zerusin said. "I knew then that I wanted to be a part of that and help educate student athletes." While pitching through shoulder injuries and helping the Illini win Big Ten regular season and tournament titles in 2011, Zerusin was earning a bachelor's degree in kinesiology and a master's in sports management. He would spend 3 years working in the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics, helping with summer camps and as an event coordinator. In 2014, he was named coordinator of student, alumni, and corporate relations for the Department of Industrial and Enterprise Development. Zerusin's success there led him back to athletics, where he earlier this week was named director of Varsity I, an arm of development aimed at engaging former Illini student athletes. "The role in engineering was similar to this, and I did that to prepare myself for if and when this role came open," Zerusin said. "It's been kind of a long path for me, being able to talk to former athletes and people who are passionate about Illinois was big." Settling in, 3 days into his job, Zerusin is trying to stay out of the way for the time, being as most in the department as prepping for Friday's Hall of Fame gala in Chicago. "I'll be there for that because there are former athletes being honored, and I want to make sure I'm in front of them and are able to talk to them," he said. "As far as the planning, I'll let everyone else take care of that. I'm trying to do some outreach now just to get my name out there. Things are a bit hectic at home, too. He and his wife, Peyton, a former Illinois cheerleader, recently bought a house in Mahomet where they're raising their two young sons. I spend time hanging out with them, doing whatever they want to do," he said. "My oldest likes to go fishing and play baseball." This has been Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette for Part 1 for Thursday, June 22, 2017. Please stay tuned for Part 2.